Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
You're watching live. It's Phil Goyette, our old friend. What's up, Phil? Welcome into the show. You used to do this show with us. You were the man that introduced me to Ben. So, really, without you, there is no us.
Yeah, I do miss that PlayStation loading sound. It's been a good mood just hearing that.
Well, go buy a PS1. You could have that anytime you want.
I have the classic, the little classic one.
Does it make the sound?
Yeah.
Oh, it does. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're here to talk about the Cubs and the White Sox today. It's the Prospects Power Half Hour. It's also opening day. We are all excited. Ben has been breaking down his first Braves game of the season. How did it go, Ben?
A victory. Well, although, I got to say, I've got three leagues where I own AJ Minter, and the Braves decided they needed to tack on like three runs in the top of the ninth and cost me a save. So...
yeah,
but you know, I'll take that.
Yeah, it sucks. I had in my home league, I have Minter and Finnegan, and Finnegan's the one who gave up some of those runs. So whoops.
You know, but if you want to see one of the better defensive plays, you'll probably see all day. Victor Robles kept it from being four runs by grabbing one hell of a catch at the center field wall, dead center. I mean, about the deepest part of Nationals Park. Acuna just tattooed a ball straightaway center. And Robles went up and grabbed it, and that ball would have been out. He would have had himself a home run and steal day today.
Damn it.
And Robles went and took the ball away from him. So that was hell of a fun play to watch. But
no combo meal for Ronald.
Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah, he's also on my team, the same team I just mentioned. That's okay, though. He had a steal, and I think he scored a run. Phil, any highlights today? You've been watching opening day. It feels good to see baseball in action, and this time it counts. Yeah.
I said in the Palazzo Discord, which you all should join if you're not in there because it's a lot of fun, but the pitch clock I love. I don't know. I know that some don't care for it that much, especially if you get to the situation where the umpire calls a ball or strike. But for me personally, makes the game feel more like an athletic endeavor than it had been dragging. And I understand why it was where it was before because these pitchers are – ass to max out basically frequently. And so they really, I would imagine have to gather yourself to be able to do that so consistently, unless you're like Garrett Cole or something, one of those freaks. So I get where it comes from, but I just find the game more interesting, more exciting when it's ticks along at a little better pace. And for me selfishly too, I might be able to watch two games in a day that way too, you know, which is nice.
And the hitters finally get their acting gear. They're not sitting there adjusting batting gloves five times every at bat. You know, it's just, they get to work, you know, and it's just, you know, we're not adjusting the cup four times every time we're at the play, you know, every in between each pitch. It's just, holy cow, you know, but man, it moves a lot quicker. I will say Colin McHugh had a ball called on him during warmups. And I guess I didn't realize that was part of the whole thing. There's a 30-second warm-up clock. You have 30 seconds at the start of an inning, and at 31, it's an automatic ball to the first batter. No. And McHugh literally was throwing the ball, like he was told, and the umpire's like counting it down, and he is releasing the ball at 31 and had a ball called on him for the first batter of an inning. And so... yeah. It's, you have to have that last pitch released at 30 or else it's a ball, which I was really impressed I didn't realize that was part of things. That'll speed things up too. If you got to move things along in between innings, as far as warmups. And if it's
the rule, I got to just call it. And if we're pissed, then we'll change the rule. Right. But
no,
if the playoffs roll around and they don't want to do it in the playoffs, totally fine. Like, I don't mind a 3.5 or 4 hour long playoff game, but you know, for April, end of March, it was nice to see him clicking along today.
Loved it.
And you know, and these are rules that have been on the books forever. They just weren't enforcing them. You know, there's always been a pitch clock that's on the books. They just weren't enforcing it. So
that's a good point.
It's good that they're actually doing this, and they made sure that it was down defined well and down and saying, okay, now you have to enforce it. Cool.
How do you guys feel about the shift? That was the obviously the other big thing to notice today is, you know, the shift ban or the starting positions, really, of you're limited where you can start your defensive positioning before the pitcher releases the ball, right, is kind of what the rule is.
Even with the teams that do use it, they have to kind of use their outfielders. And I saw where it cost the Royals a hit. I mean, it's defensively, because MJ Melendez is trying to field a ball, and he's obviously an outfielder trying to do that. He's playing shallow right, and it's a scorching hot ball off the bat of Joey Gallo.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got him positioned perfectly, but he bobbled that hot, you know, ground ball, whereas a natural infielder probably scoops that thing up, and it's maybe a bang-bang play at first, but by the time Melendez got hold of it, he just had no shot.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you've got a guy who's played quite a bit of infield and moves to the outfield, maybe you've got a guy who can transition into that shift a little better, but it's going to end up being where that shift could cost some hits if teams even employ it in the outfield. And I don't know how many guys out there are like Joey Gallo that are such prominent pull guys that you even want to do that shift.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
That's a good point, Ben. I can't wait to see how the season goes. I'm happy with all the rule changes. I'm happy for baseball. It's all good in the hood here on the Palazzo Podcast. Two L's, two Z's. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. And, of course, follow Benjamin at Big Gentle Ben. You can follow Phil at Phil of Sports, P-I-H-L, that is. And I'm at MJ Govier. We're here to talk Cubs and White Sox next Big Three prospects. It is the Prospects Power Half Hour. I want to give a shout-out as well to last week, when Kyle Glazer came on. Ben and Kyle talked about the Mariners and Dodgers next big three. Ben, you did a fine job. I know you had a rough start there because you had the YouTube link open in your browser, so you were hearing yourself. This has happened to me many times. You're not alone, Ben. I understand. You start to hear your words coming out of your mouth, but they're coming out after you say them, like five seconds later, so don't worry about it, Ben. You did a good job. And I'm really sorry I didn't get to meet Kyle. Kyle, I'm sorry. I wasn't here for you. I apologize. Please forgive me.
It's like being back in college.
for someone who's worked in mental health, I had a little bit of an idea of what schizophrenia maybe felt a little bit like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, where are these voices coming from?
What's like, happening? What the heck? Goddamn YouTube will get you every time, and that's just something we learn along the way here as a host, and I want to thank you for having Kyle on. Make sure you catch that episode, which is on all of our available platforms. The YouTube channel has all the episodes and your preferred podcast platform. All right, let's dive into the White Sox first. Phil is a White Sox guy. He knows a thing or two about the pale hose. Phil, who are the current top three prospects as you see it on today's date for the Chicago White Sox?
Ben sent his top three. I agree with his top three. I would have Colas probably first, just on a proximity. And then Colson Montgomery, shortstop prospect, second, although he's banged up to start the season, so we see how that goes. And then Brian Ramos, third, who I think will be a major leaguer. I don't know how, if he's going to be a huge impact major leaguer, but he could be a regular for the Sox at some point. So I think those are the first top three prospects in a system that's not really that hard to pick the current top three because that's about all they have.
Oh, well, I got to say, by the way, you guys should join Phil's Discord. The Double Deuce Discord is a beautiful place. And Phil just got himself a nice present from his fellow Discorders. Did you share that with everyone?
Yeah. Ozzie Guillen, they did a cameo video, and he was like, "Phil, you're doing a great job with the White Sox and with your Dynasty League." It was fantastic. And then he started talking about how I dyed my beard, which I did. I don't know how he got that information,
But he was like, "What is this, dog? This is beautiful. This is the most beautiful thing." Because Ozzy and I kind of have the same coloration in our beard right now. So
yeah, I noticed that.
I know, but I'm telling you, I love Ozzy. So my league mates got me that cameo. It was fantastic. I sent it to like, you know, a bunch of the family members back in Chicago and stuff. Everybody was laughing about it. My mother-in-law was texting me, Phil, P-H-E-E-L, Jew, D-Y-U. It's kind of how Ozzy pronounces it, you know. So, yeah, it was super.
Good league mates over
there. So, yeah, if you're looking to join the league, join us in the Deuce. We have them starting up all the time, it seems like. Every sport, too. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's very inclusive and intensive. So if you're looking for a place where you loved everything about sports all the time and you want to play games, you know, you got your tabletop game you're working on, too. I feel bad about I haven't been able to test it out. I really want to. I really hope it all works out.
Yeah, me too. I'm trying to test it out and get it in front of publishers. So hopefully by the end of the summer, that's the goal.
Yeah, I got to do a better job pushing that. We'll make up ground on that, I assure you. All right, Ben, so he mentioned your top three. He basically spoiled your top three. You want to go with your next top three here? What's the next top three as you see it, Ben?
I mean, you know, just to kind of tap, those three guys, I would say, are your pretty clear top three. And really because the White Sox, beyond those three, the hitting is pretty bereft in the system. There's just not a whole lot for bats in the system beyond those three guys. I mean, Ramos, we talked about the Reds here a few weeks back. If you think of Ramos like a Spencer Steer, as far as what he could be as a major league guy, a guy who, he's not going to be he's not going to be a 30 home run guy. He's not going to be a 35 guy. I mean, he's not going to be a huge power guy. He's never going to probably hit you 300. He's not that kind of an offensive impact guy, but he could give you 260 with 25.
Yep.
Be that solid type of, and play good enough, solid defense at third, and maybe even handle second, because when they put him at second, he wasn't terrible. I mean, which is kind of where Steer is at right now, that they're willing to try him at second, but prefer to have him at third. And Ramos is kind of the same way. He's definitely a third baseman, but if they have to, they could put him at second. That's, you know, great. That's a major league ball player. Montgomery and Colas has just big power. And he's a lot of fun. When he gets a hold of one, he rips one. How much he's willing to sit on a ball, that's what's going to be the difference. But big power, big arm. He's going to be a lot of fun to watch when he gets a hold of a baseball in right field and he's looking to gun down a runner this year. There's going to be some highlights this year. Just watch the White Sox highlights for him gunning down a guy at third base or at home plate this year.
What happened the pitching? Did that die off real quick? I never followed through on, because he was supposed to be like with a Cuban Ohtani was one of the rumors, right, early on?
The arm was big, but that was done. The White Sox never had him pitch, and honestly, I don't know of any major league club that was even looking at him in that way. From everything you read, no major league team was looking at him as a pitcher.
Oh.
Everyone thought he was a hitter only.
Okay.
And then Montgomery's that guy who is just, he's an elite prospect. But right now, like Phil said, he's hurt. Let's see where things go. But he's young and he's got lots of time to go. This is a guy who is a premium athlete. So, you know, all-state basketball player as a high schooler, you know, just, he's a really good athlete. And they, you know, he's going to be probably spending most of the year in AA once he's healthy. So lots of time there.
Lots of time.
Next big three, if we go there, it's all arms. And I would say if I were going to put together a White Sox list, probably my next probably 7-8 or more guys are arms for the White Sox.
Hey, Jasper.
And a couple of them are guys who were picked this year. Noah Schultz, who's a huge lefty, big, tall lefty, and he's got a goofy arm slot. Really tough to pick up. Then you've got Peyton Pallett, who probably would have been a first rounder if he would not have had an injury. A lot of college guys who were in kind of that boat last year, but he is a really exciting guy for the White Sox to get. And then Christian Mena, I guess if I don't pronounce that right, it is what it is. But he's one of those guys who I don't know if you're going to find him with a pitch that anyone's going to grade as a plus pitch, but he doesn't have anything that's below average. He's one of those guys that has a whole lot of pitches that are average to above average, and his control, to me, is maybe his best attribute. He's still a control over command type of guy right now, but he's one of those guys, he has four pitches that he uses. They're all average or above average. He just has the making of a really good middle of the rotation type starter that just, he's got a good frame to him, repeats everything well. He's just, he's got to put in the time, and that's all. You know, he's, when they signed him, he was, you know, 6'2 or 6'3, and he was about 150 pounds. So he's probably 200, 210 now. So he's added a good weight onto his frame, and he's getting there. But he's going to be solid once he gets there. But he's just not right now. I he's one of my favorite guys in their system. But so, yeah, Jose Rodriguez, I like him.
He would be in mine.
Yeah. So we'll see what Phil has to say. So,
yeah. What do you have to say, Phil?
Yeah, I'm with Ben. I would think Noah Schultz is probably the most intriguing next guy. Pellet, I guess we need to see him come back.
Yeah.
Make sure that he's healthy. But yeah, I'm with you on that. Mayna impressed. He made it to Double A and held his own. So I can dig that. Yeah, I think Jose Rodriguez I'd have right after Schultz or maybe even ahead of Schultz. He hits the ball hard and he makes a lot of contact for a little guy. I think Dan Victor has always nicknamed him Popeye. And strong wrists, you know, forearm guy. And he stole 40 bags last year, too. So I don't think he's not got that type of speed. He's not like a plus speed guy, probably even. But he can run a bit, and as much as it's as much baseball IQ, I think he's stealing bags on. Which maybe that suits him well with the rule changes and stuff. But I think he's a major leaguer. To me, him and Ramos are not too far apart. With the difference of Ramos probably, like Ben said, can play third base in the majors and possibly some second base, whereas Jose Rodriguez is probably just a second baseman.
And that's
the big side.
Yeah, I think that's probably a big part of it is, for me, I'm not sure Rodriguez is a defensive starter in the majors.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think you could hide him at second, okay, which – the White Sox are fine with doing.
What's up with Cespedes, Phil?
He never could hit. I mean, I think just got signed basically on his workout videos. I don't know, but he was never his bat is like a 20, maybe? If we're being generous. I mean, he just doesn't have any feel for hitting at all.
Yeah, you see a lot of 30s, a lot of 40s on his hit tool. And These are from places that are usually pretty generous and will throw around, you know, 50s on a hit tool that isn't really a major league quality.
I put it in my notes as far as with Gladney and Westcath. You could put Cespedes in this pool. You could put like James Beard in this pool. And the White Sox have always done this. Or under Ken Williams, at least, the look good in uniform guys.
Yep.
Kenny's always searching for that guy that can look great in the uniform and then maybe figure out how to put it together when he's turns professional, you know? So, and it just hasn't really happened. Tim Anderson was late to baseball and a multi-sport guy, shortstop, and that worked out. And so that does kind of give me hope for Colson Montgomery, who kind of has a similar background. As far as being a multi-sport guy, I don't think he's late to baseball. But
what about Santos? Is he worth picking up soon? That's what Jasper wants to know. Is he just making things up?
I'm not sure. Is he talking about Ramos?
Are you talking about Gregory Santos, 23 years old? No. Have you guys been stumped?
I'm not sure which. There's a lot of guys named Santos. That's why I'm just like
Chicago. If I pull this up again, Chicago White Sox, number 9 on Eric Langenhagen's top White Sox prospects. Here it is right there. Mr. Santos, number 9, Gregory Santos. Go away! I hate when it does it. There you go. See, there he is, right there, number nine. So, have you guys been stopped?
Well, I mean, he's a reliever only. I don't the thing is
the White Sox have, you know, a mix of guys that are just going to try and hold it down until Hendricks comes back, which sounds like it might be sooner than later, thankfully.
Jasper's asking probably in a redraft situation, is he worth the pickup? Yeah. Not so much is he a top prospect. So,
you know who I grabbed was Aaron Bummer. Because he was rough last year, but he was not always been rough. And he's a lefty. So, like, depending on matchups, he might grab some saves. So I grabbed him in a couple deeper leagues. I don't know. It's going to be just the mix and match. Kelly, maybe. I don't know. I mean,
we'll see. And see, I'm a big fan of Rinaldo. I think he's found a different gear last year in the bullpen when he was there full time too.
A lot of people are saying, especially in Vegas last weekend when I was there in person with all the big wigs like Paul Spohr and Jeff Erickson and all these heavy hitters, Vlad Sedler, and people you don't even know who've made so much money. This guy got inducted to the NFBC Hall of Fame on Saturday. I've never heard of his name, but he had like this absurd winning percentage in 48 contests. He'd won like a huge majority of them. He'd hundreds of thousands of dollars easily. So these people were all talking up Ronaldo Lopez. That's good company to be in, I will say that. Well, we got to get to the Cubs here. We got to move on to the Cubbies. That was the White Sox. By the way, Phil, I will let you know, I put in a bet over at FTNBets.com, where I work and place bets that the White Sox would win the AL Central. So
I don't hate it. They got kind of everybody. Somebody said everybody regressed last year, so you wouldn't expect regression this year.
They're a year and a half. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's going to be with the pitching and if they can stay healthy. And do you think Cease repeats what he did last year? I don't know. So,
well, Giolito comes back in a big way. So he is so undervalued this year. I wish I had more shares of Giolito. I put a bet on him to Cy Young this year. He has Cy Young stuff. He could win a Cy Young. It's not ridiculous. And he's at plus 3,500. So that's worth a dollar. That's worth 10 bucks.
Red alert. Red alert. Commercials incoming. Please be prepared to ignore them. These people are not your friends. These messages are intended to make you feel bad or that something is missing from your life. Red alert. Commercials incoming. Prepare to enable the use of your 15-second skip ahead button. You are in terrible peril. Red alert. Red alert. Commercials incoming. In 3, 2, 1.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, where that fastball's tracking for him is his big. If he catches too much of the plate with it, it gets ugly.
That should be a three-way race. Last year, the Twins had monster injuries. Twins had monster injuries. White Sox just seemed to have a whole bunch of guys that forgot that baseball was supposed to be played. I don't know what happened there. Like, they just, like I said, Giolito just left 2021 and maybe showed up, and
maybe
like,
because the manager was sleeping in the dugout. I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's just it. You know, get that guy out of the dugout and we can have maybe a different year. But
well, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's the TLR effect. He's no longer there. It's the post TLR effect. So
I really think that should be a fun three-way race in that division. I mean, the Indians are a solid young club. The Twins have, I honestly think the Twins might have the best pitching they've had since that Johan Radke. That was a fun young staff that they had in the early 2000s with the 1987? Piranhas that Phil hates.
Yeah, I hate them. That was a tough, they were a tough pitching staff. Though,
since Frank Viola and Bert Blyleven.
That's Yeah. No, that staff back then was just basically Viola, Burt Blyleven, and Pray for Rain. But I mean, that was all they had then. But that early 2000 staff was really solid. So,
well, look, but we could talk about the 87 Twins all day, but let's get to the Cubs on the north side of town here on the Prospects Power Half Hour. Two L's.
Utah.
Two Z's here.
Give me two.
We're live with Phil Goyette. He's back with us to talk about his, I mean, you don't really give a shit about hating the Cubs, right? They're just whatever.
Oh, no, we dislike the Cubs in our house.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, good.
Yeah, so, can we swear on this one? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So my wife's granddad, growing up, had like pictures hanging, like the cheap kind of art where it's like Chinese characters type of thing with no meaning. You know what I mean? It's just like for the vibe or whatever. And one time she asked him, Grandpa, what do those characters mean? And he said, fuck the Cubs. So, no, there's no.
Ooh, animosity. Yeah, oh, I like that. That's fun.
No love for the Cubs in the South.
Okay, good. Let's get a rivalry going. Yeah, let's flame it up. I like that. I'm going to lock that in. All right, Ben, lead us off. Top three Cub prospects as of today. We'll start with number one, Nazir Mule.
And, yeah, no. So, a lot of places are going to have three outfielders, and I'm not. Just because I've got a little different info and stuff on one of them. So I'm going to have Pete Crow Armstrong as kind of my clear top guy. I think there's kind of a big division there from the rest of the crew here. And then I've got Brendan Davis. Yeah, there's been a lot of stuff go on there, but he's still just that talent is friggin' elite. And he's been showing it out in Arizona this spring. And that's kind of gone under the radar. Not a lot of people have talked about it, but he's looked really good. Okay. And then Cade Horton, who was their pick last year. I still am not 100% sold that he's a long-term starter, but that stuff is ungodly electric. And if he's a reliever only, we're talking like Craig Kimbrell level reliever. You know, this is going to be a guy who for 5 to 7 years is going to be putting up, you know, sub two ERAs as a closer with 100 strikeouts over 70 innings, that type of a guy. That's the type of guy that he is right now. If he's a starter, it might take him a few years to develop because they're going to need to get innings on his arm. He hasn't started a lot. So they're going to need to build up the innings in the minors. But if he gets there as a starter, that, like I said, once again, that stuff is freaking wicked. And that's an ace type arm if he makes it as a starter. So it's kind of, he's got an ace closer or bust is really, and those arms are really fun to watch. So
not bad to roster for Dynasty too, because like your consolation prizes saves potentially, right? So.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Phil, the Cubs and the White Sox are in a dead heat this century, 1-1 in World Series victories. So it's a good race. It's a good race this century for sure. What do you think of that top three? Any disagreements?
Yeah, I don't. PCA number one, I agree with Ben. I would probably have Brendan Davis in the top. I went back and forth a lot on these because they have a lot of guys I like, I think. So Miguel Amaya, I think, is a top three prospect in their system. Just my personal feel. I've always liked him. I think he can hit and he can work as a catcher in the bigs and he can get on base. And with the right lineup around him, he can produce. So I think I would have Amaya maybe third after Davis. And then the other guy is Canario, Alexander Canario.
Oh,
he's still young. He showed some growth in the power department big time. So more strength, and maybe he's starting to figure out the strike zone. I don't know. I think you want to see a whole nother season of that kind of development because that's he was taking more walks. He can be pretty free swinging, I think, if I remember correctly.
Zing!
He's one of those guys maybe seeing the bigs for 3 weeks and it never works out. two. You know what I mean?
That's Well, that's harsh. And come on.
The other guy that I would say is probably the one that is kind of a consensus guy, and I will say that I don't have him on, even on my next three right now, just because I've been hearing some stuff, and that's Kevin Alcantara. Came over from the Cubs, and or from the Yankees to the Cubs, and big 6'6 guy, and from what I've been hearing, he's gotten a little too big. And not exactly showing out great in camp because of that. So it's going to be maybe having to adjust a little bit on his expectations as to what he is, because suddenly he's gone from a guy who could make, you know, could just patrol right really well and maybe even slot into center. And now I don't know that he's, corner outfield was giving him a challenge in spring, and that's not a good sign. It was, you know, and
that's bad.
His hit tool was exposed a little bit last year. There's just a lot of things when he moved up levels, it just all of a sudden went, ooh, that's something we need to worry about in the upper levels. And so that's just something we need to see. But one that got mentioned, Davis has not had any injury this spring. He's coming off that back injury. He's been handled very cautiously this spring and went down to the minor leagues, but it wasn't due to injury. He would just was intentionally handled slow. And, but I mean, really showed out well this spring. So.
Okay. They don't really, wow.
They have a lot of,
just want to get Harry Carey on the record there.
He is the one part of the Cubs you can definitely support. Okay. It's because he was a White Sox broadcaster before.
I was just going to say.
There it is. Sorry, Phil. Go ahead, please.
No, he's just awesome. No, they have a lot of outfield depth. So with Brennan Davis, they might not be in a hurry this year with him because they have some guys in the high minors. Velasquez, Nelson Velasquez.
He's graduated. And he's few, so probably
loads of depth for outfielders, so they might not need to push him. Can Mervis play some outfield?
No, he's first base only. But even
did Nelson,
even
did Velasquez make the opening day roster? I didn't catch that.
I don't think so. And same thing. Morel is down in
the minors. Oh yeah, Morel too. Yeah,
and he plays the outfield.
You think he'd be the next one up?
Both. Yeah. But I mean, you've got some guys that can handle those positions if they need an outfielder. And so, I mean, Davis is going to have time to kind of get his feet back underneath him. It's kind of, you mentioned Amaya, I think he missed almost two full seasons due to injury, and they weren't really pushing him at all last year. I think this is his push year, and they're going to see what do they have. Yeah. And then if he doesn't really respond this year, that might be it. I mean, he might be looking for a new organization next year, but that's because they've got some depth coming up behind him at catcher. But he's kind of that guy that's there right now, and so they got to see what they have. But
did we do the next top three?
No, for me, I was just gonna say we should get into the next big three because we're getting into a bunch of other names, and so
let's do that. Let's do that.
So my next three. I got Matt Mervis, who I think anyone who's on the Discord knows how much I love Matt Mervis. He's former pitcher in college and first baseman, and then guy was one of the minor league leaders in home runs last year. And he's going to be up this year and should get you some home runs. Ben Brown is a guy who I've loved since he was a Philly. He's just, really fun pitcher to watch. And then I've been told that I bring out a name that somebody doesn't know every time I do one of these, and my name there is Porter Hodge. And if you don't know Porter Hodge, you should get to know Porter Hodge because the poor guy used to get made fun of because of his weight. He's currently 6'4" and about 2 1/4, and was a lot more than that. And when you have a nickname like Porter, there's lots of mean nicknames that kids can call you when you're a chubby kid.
I drafted him. I drafted him in my FYPD this past year. So
he has a really fun pitch mix that the changeup basically went from non-existent to a, it depends on who you talk to, it's either an average changeup or a just slightly below average changeup. He's got a definite plus slider, definite plus fastball, and then a curve that it's absolutely a below average curve. Can't locate it for crap, but he throws it. And he throws it, and people just don't know where it's coming. Or don't, you know what I mean? When it comes, it's a 70s curve, and he throws this, you know, his slider is just, has this movement that folks can't see. The changeup is pretty close to his fastball, really tunnels well, and his fastball can get into the, you know, mid-90s. But then this change is just, or this curveball is like a 70-mile-an-hour pitch, and it just throws people way the hell off, even though it's a terrible-looking pitch. If you know it's coming, you could just tee it up. So it gets bad grades, but it's going to be fun to watch him. He really worked hard on his body. And so he's coming from kind of a smaller school to doing this, and now let's see how he develops moving forward next year. I mean, you know, this is a guy who was, 21 for a lot of last year. He's going to spend most of this year in AA. So he's going to get a lot better test this year. But he's got the raw stuff. And so it'll be a fun thing to watch, see who he is truly this year.
Porter Hodge. Phil, commentary on those names.
I'm honestly...
Oh, Porter Hodge!
Hodge and Ben Brown, both I got stumped on, so it was good to learn about.
Ooh.
Both
of them,
dude. I would agree with Ben with Mervis and the next three. I think his WOBA was above 400 at every stop last year, just ridiculous. And then I would have Owen Casey, who I've talked about for about 2 years on the show now. I thought he looked good in the WBC. Held his own there against guys that are a lot older than him. He can run pretty well for how big he is. I think I was a little surprised by that. Big ginger, weird looking ginger running around out there. I think he is a first baseman. Like, I don't. He played in the outfield last year for them. I don't think he's an outfielder going forward, but gets on base, hits for power. Even as a first baseman, could be great. So I like Owen Casey. Maybe, you know, like Richard Gallardo. Is a guy I've always liked.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, you know, is his stuff ever going to be good enough? Like, he can have control to be good enough to be a big league pitcher. But you talk – it's interesting, Ben, you said that about Porter because Gallardo has gotten big.
Mm-hmm.
He's really – and not fat, not, like muscular.
Yeah.
He's really worked out once being brought up to the Cubs system.
But it's not translated to velocity. At all.
Enough. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's, he's a guy who, when he came, when you first saw him with the Cubs in his first full season work, he was a guy who right away you saw, God, this guy has a plus change, easy plus change, and phenomenal control. But it was a 90 mile an hour fastball. You're like, well, how are you going to get guys out with that? And it was an okay breaking ball, but it wasn't like an elite one. Now you're talking about a guy who, I mean, it's still a plus change, and that breaking ball is ticked up to where I can maybe call that an average to an above average breaking ball. But the fastball still, even though he's refined his body and he looks like he could maybe get into a powerlifting competition, but he's pumping out 92. And I'm going, well, as much as you've done to your body, you would think you're going to be pumping 95, not 92. And he's maintained the change, you know, at least he's maintained that changeup. It's a big league changeup, but then what do you do with it? So,
I just don't know that he's going to have enough dominance to be able to challenge hitters at the highest level. I do like the kid though. So I would maybe have him in the next big three. I don't know. They have a lot of interesting prospects. Luke Little is really interesting, although he's probably only a reliever. But you could see him being a very effective reliever, I think, if he can keep his gigantic frame in order.
Ooh, okay.
Jordan, we got to talk about Jordan Nwogu. I think we talk about every time too, from an Ann Arbor Pioneer alumni.
Hey, all right.
Really a football player, I think, coming out of high school. But he had a good year again last year. Power is very real. So, yeah, Wesneski's great.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I love Wesneski. It's a lot of fun. Now, this is how Jim Callis sees it on MLB.com. For those of you watching live, you know, PCA, Alcantara, maybe he'll change after what Ben has to say. Listen to Ben. I trust what Ben says over anybody. And I'm glad, Ben, by the way, that yours, you know, we don't want you to have the same prospects that everybody else has. I mean, if there's agreement, there's agreement. But we want you to be your own man, Ben. You always do that on the show. So we appreciate that here. And I want you to know that.
The Cubs have some really interesting guys. I know that, you know, Chad's going nuts about, you know, the pitching they have. I mean, Jordan Wicks was a really good looking, you know, pitcher in college. Yeah. Jackson Ferris is a guy that he's got stuff. You know, they've got a lot of guys that are fun. James Triantos didn't show out the way that folks were hoping he would last year, but he didn't fall on his face either.
He was young. Yeah, he was young.
He was young when we were young.
I feel like they're pushing their guys.
So, I mean, it's going to be one of those things where we're going to look up in, you know, 2 years, and there's going to be a whole slew of guys from this system that succeeded that were ranked 20 and below. I mean, here's what BA's top 30, Javier Assad made their major league club. He's their number 20 prospect for BA. You know, he was in competition for the fifth rotation spot until the very last day when he ended up getting assigned to be the long reliever. So, I mean, this is the type of guys they have in their system, is that these guys he was in a competition for a major league job till the very last day, and he's their 20th ranked prospect. That they've got a deep system. I don't know that everyone recognizes just how solid that Cubs system is. It maybe doesn't have elite prospects like some places, but it's pretty solid all the way top to bottom. So,
hell yeah. That's well said, Ben. Oh, so good. Every time I hear it, I love hearing it. All right, well, that's it. We're out of time. That has been the Prospects Power Half Hour. Phil, so good to see you, man. So great to have you on. You stayed up late for us. You always do that for us. We appreciate that. Is there anything you want to share with people before you say goodbye?
No, it's just fun to be back on the show. And maybe when you guys get into draft season, I am still taking my notes on everything, so we can talk draft prospects, which is always fun, because then you get a leg up on the prospects for the next year for FYPD. So.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Yeah, we would love that, Phil. It's always great to have you, man. I've missed you, but I'm so happy that you're living the life you want to live. Me and Ben are holding it down. And make sure you follow Phil on Twitter, Phil of Sports, Ben at Big Gentle Ben. I'm MJ Govier. Plotso Podcast.
Utah.
Two L's.
Give me two.
Two Z's. That never changes. Thanks, everybody, for chiming in. Enjoy the rest of your opening day. Hopefully you learned a little bit about the Cubs and the White Sox prospects today. And we'll see you next time.
Power prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wander Franco is your one true. Trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.